Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Redman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hey, this is Gus G, and I give you the ride of rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, they sleep in the garage. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hey guys, this is Gus G, and you're listening to Genghis and Ragman. Horns up! Guys, we are live at the Scout Bar here in Houston, Texas, with a guitar god, two guitar gods, Vinnie Moore and Gus G. Thank you.
All right.
And Dennis Ward from Pink Cream 69, Unisonic, and Gus G's band. So we have, it's a star-studded affair, my friends. So Gus, welcome back to Houston, and it's great to meet you in person, man.
Thank you. I don't know what. Do they knock from that door or that door?
I don't know.
It's
your fans. They're busting through,
man. Yeah, everybody's trying to get back.
They heard all the noise in there. They thought a party was going on.
Yeah, they're like, what's going on? That's where the guys must be. That's where the band is. No, it's all good, man. We just, it's the first show of the tour today, tonight.
Well, you guys played some dates in Europe, right?
Yeah, we did. But that was like back in April. We did like a mini tour, Scandinavia and Germany primarily, then a couple of festivals, and then basically took a break, and like the main touring leg starts now here, America now in September, and then next month UK, and then November Europe.
Well, that's awesome. So is it going to be with Vinny? And I know Richie's going to jump on for some West Coast dates.
Yeah. I mean, that was like the agent's idea. You know, we were supposed to do this tour with Vinny, and then he said, hey, how about... We were supposed to actually start earlier, I think in July, and then he said, hey, how about you wait until September and you join Richie for some West Coast dates? And we were like, yeah, hell yeah. We love Richie, and it was a great opportunity. And I mean, in Europe, it's going to be my headline solo dates, Europe and UK. This is, you know, I'm sort of like, you know, kind of like the support act for Vinny and Richie or something like that. I don't know. It's built as three guitar player package, but yeah, I'm opening the shows.
Well, it's almost like a G3 type thing.
In a way, yeah, but it's not like really announced like that. But is it? Yeah, it's like three guitar players, yeah, three solo guitarists.
Well, the album's been out for a while now. How's it been received? You know, when we talked earlier, I told you I love it. I still love it.
Thank you.
What's the response and the dates you did so far over in Europe? How did those go?
Yeah, the response was, you know, it was like the two extremes. This time I noticed like people really, really loved the record and thought it was like one of the best and some of my best work. And then it was like the other opposite where they were not fascinated at all. They found it really boring and pointless. So I guess it created some emotions, so which is a good thing. So it's good. There was like not really any middle ground. But I'm proud of it. I love the album. In Europe, we did a few shows with... do you know the Danish band called DAD?
Yeah.
So I basically was supporting their singer, Jesper Binzer. He did a solo record as well. So he invited me to play a few shows with him, and that was cool. We played a bunch of shows in Sweden and Denmark. He's from Denmark, so yeah. And then we went to Germany with him, and it was really cool.
Well, I know when we last talked, and I think our keyword was cohesive, and this record's very cohesive. It's got a really nice flow, and I was really listening to it hard the last couple of days because I knew we were going to talk, and yeah. I was going to see you live, and man, it's just... I still love it. I mean, I love it. It's not just, it's not Firewind. It's, and maybe that's where you got a little dissension. It's just good, solid, hard rock songs with some metal tinge.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's a little bit of a, I think, like the problem for, at least for the negative comments that I said that I just mentioned, I'm a very positive guy actually to begin with. I don't really read too much into all that. You know, if somebody likes it, cool. If not, whatever. But, you know, I think it's almost like a taboo. Like if you're a solo artist or a solo guitar player, you should somehow stick to doing instrumentals. And I don't really do that. I mean, I do some instrumentals, but I like to make songs with vocals. And I think that's where a lot of that kind of like gets lost there. Somehow I feel like I'm, you know, people don't really seem to get that. Some people don't seem to get it. They're like, oh, well, if you're doing a solo record, why aren't you playing shredding instrumentals, and why are you doing like a band thing? I don't know. In my mind, when I was growing up and listening to Michael Schenker Group or Yngwie Malmsteen, the early records, or I don't know, Joe Norum or whatever, they were like great guitar records, but they had great singers in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess kind of like following into that tradition. To me, it seems just natural.
Oh yeah, and it blows me away how good Dennis is.
Yeah, he's really good.
You know, I mean, being behind David Redman, I mean, David Redman's an amazing vocalist too, and you never knew Dennis could sing like this until this record.
Exactly, people don't know that, but you know, he's a really good songwriter, and like when we were doing the demos for the Firewind record a couple of years back, he was writing the lyrics and vocal melodies and sending to me, and I was like, God damn, you sing really good. And even when I sent it to the guys in the band, they were like, who's that? I'm like, that's Dennis, the guy who's gonna produce and mix our album, and you know, we co-write the stuff. Oh, he's really good. And it got to almost to a point where we're a little bit worried, like, hey, Henning has to really do a really, really good job here, you know. It has to sound at least as good. But he did a great job, of course. But this time around with a solo band, we're doing all the demos again working in the same type of situation, and I was like, who can sing and who should do that? And then Dennis says, hey man, listen, if you want to use my vocals, cool. You know, maybe, what do you think about this power trio type of band idea? And that's where it all hit me. I was like, hey, this is a good idea. It's something different. I've never been in a trio type of setup. And, you know, it's I'm going to have more space on stage, less people, yeah. Actually. And... I don't know, we just gave it a... Actually, last year we did a tour together with Vinny, and that was the first time we tried it out. Mm-hmm. And it worked out great.
That's awesome. Well, as far as set list, how much are you playing from the new record, and how much is from your, previous couple records?
Yeah, it's quite a lot from the new record, actually. We're playing quite a few songs because we feel the material is really strong, and it, yeah, it feels good to play the new stuff. And there's some of the older stuff too, of course, yeah. But I think 70% of the material will be off the new record.
Don't tread on me, I'm hoping. That's my new favorite song for the record.
No.
Come on, man.
But there's like a lot of cool stuff in there. I don't know. We're not doing that on this tour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no worries.
I kind of regret that we didn't add it. Yeah.
It's such a killer song, and it's become my new favorite as I've kind of gotten back into the record over the last few days. I'm like, man, I'm hoping they're playing because it gets real heavy, and then it kind of chills out, and then it gets heavy again.
Yeah, I know. We should have done it, man.
Well, I got another one for you. Nothing to Say. That's another favorite. It's kind of a ballady type thing.
Yeah.
And, dude, I love your solo in that song. It's awesome.
Thanks.
We're fading to nothing. An absolute end. We stare at the pieces. Searching for some way to mend. There's a light.
We're not gonna do that because I think my set list is only like 45 minutes, and you know, like playing a ballad on a 45 minute set is kind of pushing it. So I wanted to have like a really powerful set, so we're not gonna do that one. But you know, but we do all the rest more or less.
I had to pick the only two.
You pick the ones, but the only two ones that we're not doing.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention is I watched your documentary on the making of Fearless. I thought that was really cool. I'd never seen that before. Is that something you plan to do going forward? Do a little, just kind of document the recording process.
Yeah. Lately, I start getting a lot into documenting a lot more of my life on the road or at home or in the studio. Started getting to that a lot more. Paying a little bit more attention, giving more inside info to the people. It seems that people really are looking for those kind of special things, and it's interesting, yeah. And I have a good video team with me, so yeah, they were with me on most of the recording process, and yeah, hopefully we'll do a lot more stuff like that.
Well, I learned how to make Greek coffee by watching one of you, and I saw your cat that I heard on the phone the other day.
Saw him. So that was Valentino, the Siamese. Yeah.
But last question, kind of what's next after this tour? Do you plan on doing another Firewind, or are you going to work on more solo stuff, or kind of what's the thought?
Well, actually, I'm releasing a new solo song this month.
Oh, really?
I haven't told anybody yet. You're the first one I'm telling.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, it's coming out September 20 or 21st or something. It's a new instrumental. It's kind of like to coincide with this tour. But you know, I'll be busy until February, more or less, touring the solo record, and then I'm hoping to get back into writing mode with Firewind, do another Firewind record. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sorry, I got one last question. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I read somewhere where towards the end of your sit with Ozzy, he wanted to do Diary of a Madman and Blizzard of Oz in their entirety. What prevented that, or?
That was just one idea he had at the last leg of the Scream tour. I think it was like some anniversary of the first record or something, and he had like some vinyl reissue, and he's like, oh, let's do, we had a gig at Hammersmith, and he was like, let's do these two albums back to back, and we all got together earlier for rehearsals, we learned the two albums back to back, rehearsed, he showed up at the last day, played a couple of songs, he said, ah, fuck it, let's just have some tea and then tell a couple of jokes, and then he left, and we did the same. Typical Ozzy, you know, so funny.
What out of all the guitar players, I mean, he's had some great ones, Randy Rhoads, of course, Jakey Lee, Zach, was anybody harder to play than the other, or, you know, in that era? I know that I'd always heard a lot of people said some of the Jakey Lee stuff was really kind of challenging. I think Zach said that.
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff was challenging in the sense that it has to be delivered right. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, it's like you're in that band and you have to kind of like, you know, do the right thing and like carry the torch more or less, you know. So that was like my main concern. Like technically, there were a few moments here and there, but to me, it also seemed at the same time a very natural thing because it's the kind of stuff I grew up with, you know. So I don't want to put any guy down because it's all of them that were very special, you know.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't look for that. I just didn't know if one guy's licks were tough, or I guess they were all probably tough.
They all had their tough licks here and there, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, Zach had his pentatonic thing, and Jake had a lot of out of the box phrasing, and you know, and Randy, he had also like the way he went up and down the scales, like a very unique sound, like this rolling kind of thing, and he blended a lot of the classical influence in there too. So everybody had their own thing, man. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I agree. And if you look at Dio and you look at Ozzy, both guys had some of the best of the best.
Yeah, cream of the crop of guitar players, without a doubt.
For sure. Well, Gus, I know you got to go get ready for the show here, but before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there?
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for checking this out, and whoever picked up the album or checked it out, thank you so much, and hope to see you in a town near you in the future. Thank you.
Well, Gus, we want to thank you for coming back on the RightToRock.com and the Genghis and Ragman show. And we tell all the fans to go grab Fearless out on AFM. It is a killer record. And look out for Gus on tour as well as this new single coming out next month. Or this month, this September. Yeah. I don't even know what month it is.
September, I know. It's going by so fast.
Huh? Well, Gus, thanks again. It's always awesome to talk to you, man.
Thank you so much.
Everything you want. Genius
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out, and keep checking us out. And horns up.